Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. If you have your Bibles, that's fine. If you don't, it's up on the screen. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen.
Good morning. Now that's the truth, isn't it? God gives and he takes away. I know you might not think that always happens at the right time or in the right sequence, but that is a good truth. And because he gives and takes away, he is blessed. And we are, he is a blessed God, and we are blessed to have him as our Lord and Saviour. There's a number of things in this passage that George read out today. I sense we'll just touch on them, and that's all we do. So let's have a word of prayer, shall we? God, our Father, we pray today that you might continue to be with us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry to us. And we pray that you might, in truth and reality, be the one that would speak to each one of us. Father, would you speak to me and then speak to others? Would we know of your leading and your ministry to us as we read your word? We want to bring honour and glory to yourself, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul begins his second missionary journey, departing from Antioch with his new partner, new travelling partner, Silas. First, they did the work of strengthening the churches throughout the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And then they moved on to Derbe and Lystra. Now, Derbe was one of the very few places on Paul's first trip that he didn't not end up in a riot or get bashed up or end up in jail. That was pretty good sort of a time. I'm sure he went back to that many times. However, at Lystra last time, you will remember that when Paul and Barnabas, they healed a man, and the local people praised them and thought they were gods who had come down to earth, and they wanted to worship sacrifices to them. And Paul and Barnabas was quite upset about all of this. Then following that, there was a mob of Jews came down from Antioch, or came over from Antioch and Iconium. And they won the crowd over and convinced them to stone Paul. Now, stone was Paul so much that they dragged him out of town because they thought he was dead. I guess he thought about that when he turned up for the second time at Lystra. But it doesn't matter, however his last visit ended, Paul would have been greatly encouraged to see the church continue to grow. In John 15 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus talking to the disciples, he says that you need to bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. A very important aspect of any ministry is a ministry of the remaining of fruit. Somebody once said that it doesn't matter how easy you can whip up a crowd and have people making decisions for Christ, but what matters is that in 5 years' time, that fruit is still growing. And here in Lystra, Paul can see that this fruit was growing. And a young man called Timothy had been serving the Lord in these last few years. Now, we'd like to think that Timothy was a convert under Paul's preaching. We don't know that, but we just would like to think that, but we don't know. And just between you and me and a gay person doesn't really matter. But he'd been spoken of well by the church. He was a young man who was born of a Jewish woman and a Greek father. I know that was not allowed in the Jewish religion, but sometimes these things happen. It depends where people lived. His father was a Greek, and he would have been the one who would not have allowed Timothy to be circumcised. That was his say. Some people think that the father had died by this time. Paul was so impressed with Timothy that he asked him to join their team. And as we read that, he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews in that region. Paul did this so that Timothy's current status, here he was as a non-circumcised Jew, from a Jewish mother, and Paul did not want this situation to hinder their work among the Jews and among the synagogue. See, by Jewish law, Timothy was a Jew simply because he was born, because his mother was a Jew. But Timothy would have been considered an apostate Jew. He was unclean because he'd never been circumcised, and he would not have been welcomed in some places. And all this was due to no fault of his own. All the locals would have known this. So if Paul wanted to maintain his links with the synagogue, he could not be seen to be working with an uncircumcised Jew. Uncircumcised Gentile, yes, but not an uncircumcised Jew in those early days. So this circumcision would have opened doors to him than shutting doors. And so, rather than have a hassle with the Jewish authorities, they just went ahead and did it. Just had him circumcised. So we read that the team enjoyed great success in their work of strengthening and growing the churches in the region. Paul then wanted to travel southwest towards the important city of Ephesus, which is in the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is today modern-day Turkey. But the Holy Spirit, we read, forbids him to go there and to do what he was called to do, and that is to preach the gospel. That's amazing to we who know nothing much. Man prepared and ready and sent to preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit says, you're not going to Ephesus this time. It was simply not God's timing. And the good news, of course, was that Ephesus would come later, but not now. It's difficult to say exactly how the Holy Spirit said no. It may have been through a word from a prophet, and that's happened heaps of times. It may have happened through particular circumstances, or it even could have been an inward voice in Paul's heart that said this to him. One way or another, Paul got the message that this was from the Holy Spirit. And so he needed to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying. So then, Paul pulled out plan B. Let's go north to Bithynia. But when they reached the border, that plan was also prevented by the Holy Spirit. He didn't have much options at this stage of the game. He could have turned around and gone home and sulked. No, they kept on going. And they went off and down south towards the coastal town of Troas. Now, Troas was never on Paul's radar at this time. It was at least his third choice that we've just seen here today. But it was the Holy Spirit's first choice. That's important. It was the Holy Spirit's first choice to lead him there. So Paul was willing to lay down his will and plans to follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. Here is a situation where Paul was guided by doors being closed. Many times the Holy Spirit will guide by the closing of a door or the opening of a door. I read a little bit the other day that David Livingstone wanted to go to China. So God sent him to Africa. William Carey wanted to go to Polynesia, as you would, and God sent him to India. And what was the other fellow? Adoniram Judson. He went to India, but God sent him on to Burma. While in Troas, the Lord made Paul's direction very clear. In a vision, Paul was invited to the region of Macedonia, westward across the Aegean Sea. This was the first missionary endeavor to Europe. It became the dominant religion of the civilized world. You see, the wisdom and the greatness of God's plan was beginning to unfold. In Paul's mind, he was out to reach a few of the towns around the region and towns he'd been to before. But God gave him a whole new continent of an innumerable people. Sometimes our vision is too blurred. We limit the Lord by limiting his ability to do the impossible. We need the impossible in 2023. You've only got to watch the news tonight and you'll understand that we need an impossible thing to happen in our country in this year. We limit his ability to do the impossible. And truly, his ways are not our ways. We judge what can happen by what we can do. And when we try to do it, we fall over, head over turkey. Troas was an important stop. When we read in verse 10 that after Paul had seen this vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Now this verse tells us, without any fanfare, that at Troas, Luke joined the team. This is the first mention in the present tense in the book of Acts. So for the first time, Luke turns up at Troas and joins the team. I don't think he was in the first missionary team. So Paul had a lot of homework to catch up on when he joined the team. Paul had no idea. He wouldn't have stopped to think of the greatness of the Holy Spirit's purpose. With one of the most important aspects was for him to eventually write more of the New Testament letters than anybody else. And that Luke would write one of the Gospels and the book of Acts, even though they did not know there was such a thing coming along that they would be calling, that we would call the New Testament. I bet they didn't even understand there's going to be a 2023. And all this came together, the beginning of all this came together at Troas. What this shows us is that the Holy Spirit knows what he is doing even when he says, no, sorry. So when you get a no from the Holy Spirit, be reminded that it is a no and that he knows what he is doing. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? For some of us, this may just feel too far away. It's sort of just over the top. Or it's certainly outside my comfort area to abandon myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Spirit can push our sensibilities. To be led by the Spirit, it will take us beyond what we call common sense and reasoning. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. From the moment you and I put our hand up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that day when we were converted, that day that we got saved, that day that we became a new creation, the Holy Spirit came into our life. There weren't any little red flags waving or anything like that. But he came to live in our life. And as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. So if you are a child of God, if you are a new creature in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. So what does it mean for us today to be led by the Holy Spirit? To begin with, I think it means to approach all things first by prayer. Approach all things first by prayer. It's to live each moment of each day in the spirit of the Lord Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, when we had in Luke 22 and verse 42, he came to accepting what was about to happen to him. And he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, or yours be done today." It's to trust that when I am led by the Spirit, I will see the Lord working in a far greater way than when I call the shots. You've all called the shots before. It was fantastic, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was a mess. To approach all things first by prayer is not to say that he will make the decision for you, despite how almighty he is. We are not robots. He will not make the decision for us. We still have to think and reason and pray and ultimately decide what to do. I think it's a matter of us wanting. It's a matter of us wanting to be led by the Spirit of God, to do his work his way. To be led by the Spirit is to walk by faith and not by sight. The place to begin is with honest, open-hearted prayer. If we sincerely pray for the leading of God's Spirit and listen to his still small voice, we will not go far astray. It's the willingness to be led by him. The second step is to see God at work in all of life. Not just the parts that happen to go our way. And I must admit, I hadn't stopped to think too much about this. When things don't go our way, we think, well, God's a bit off the mark here. He must be busy on something else. We have to see today that what Paul saw, how the Holy Spirit changed Paul's program by sending him many, many miles away from where he intended to go. The point is that Paul understood that whatever it was that stood in his way, whatever that was, Paul saw the Holy Spirit was at work leading him. It is still a matter of faith, and it doesn't change reality because Paul did not get to Ephesus when he planned to. But I believe this is one of the things that changed his attitude. Believing that God is at work, both when we get what we want And when we don't get what we want, he's still at work. I see this as, this shows the working of the Spirit in a broader spectrum. Not just when things are good, but when things go down really bad at times. In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things, do we know that? There was a day when we did, and that was because things were all good. We know that all things work together for good for them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If we believe this, then we are able to trust that whatever happens, whether it's really pleasurable and great, or whether it's extremely painful, God is with us. He's the one leading, he's the one guiding, and using the events of everyday life to draw us closer to him. And his plan for our lives. Now, when we believe 8:28, we can say, well, no, I didn't get what I wanted. But God had something better in mind. I don't know whether you've had that situation, but they're good moments. They're good moments. However, we may never find that out simply because of our unbelief and the lack of trust. To be led by the Spirit is to begin with prayer. It's to see God at work in all of life, the good and the bad. And finally, it's to surrender our will to God's good, perfect will for our lives. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know that verse. I was reading where somebody said that this is actually not his obituary. I know it would make a great tombstone, wouldn't it? But it's not actually his obituary. It's his birth announcement. Oh, I thought I'd never heard that before. It's his birth announcement. Paul's life began when he gave up trying to do things his way and instead committed his life wholly and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when he became alive. As long as we're determined to do things our way, to have what we want when we want it, we will be frustrated and come up short. Life will never be as abundant as we hoped it would. Only as we let go and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us and use us for his glory will we experience his best for us. We all want God's best for us, don't we? Yeah, I suppose we do, yeah. Once in a while. Once in a while. Oh, you're generous, right? Yeah. So this morning, I'll throw a half a dozen questions at you. Where is the Spirit of God leading you at this moment? Where is the Spirit of God leading you at this time? Are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit how to show you the way? Are you willing to see the Holy Spirit at work in both your successes and your failures? Are you willing to humble yourself and choose His will over yours? They're tough questions, and I think I've only just started. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is leading this congregation? Do you think the Holy Spirit is leading us as a church? That would be an interesting answer, wouldn't it? What is it that He would have us to do and to be? And the big clangor is, are you willing to be involved in His leading and His blessing? I'll take the blessing, but I'm not so sure about the leadings. They don't work that way. The blessings follow His leading. Know this, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, we will grow. As individuals, we will grow in faith, we will grow in peace, we will grow in love. Is that not part of the fruit of the Spirit? Is that not part of the outworking of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I think it is. And as a congregation, when he leads us, we'll further grow in outreach. We'll further grow in mission. We'll further grow as we care for other people. We will take the time to be involved in prayer, and we will support. We will show beyond our expectations that the love that we have received from the Father Himself. In Malachi chapter 3, a great verse which you've all heard, and you know where it is. Sometimes it takes a bit of finding. And God challenges the Israelites because they were hanging back on their tithes and their offering, hanging back on their commitment to their God. And he sent them a test. He set them a test. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it. Then in verse 16, it happens to say, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and He heard. Here is the challenge now. You can forget the setting of this verse in Malachi, and that's fine. But God is setting a test. And what He's saying is, if you'll get fair dinkum with me, if you will toe the line where you have to toe the line, if you're going to is your commitment going to be a total commitment to me? If that's what you're going to do, then I'm going to hit you with so much blessing, you won't have a clue where it's come from. You won't even be able to add it all up and put it away somewhere. Well, that's a bit far-fetched, isn't it? Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good if we sorted ourselves out in our relationship with the Lord? Wouldn't it be good if we were so keen on being led by the Spirit of God? Wouldn't it be good to see Him pour out so much blessing in these walls, within these walls, and then out across the street and around the corner and around and over? Yeah, that's an impossibility, isn't it? Huh? Did you say no? It's possible. It is possible. Amen, somebody said. Hallelujah. It's impossible if we don't respond. If we don't respond, there is no response from God. So what do we want? What do you want for this church in 2023 while we're still here? Some of us were talking the other day about what seemed to be a movement of the Spirit of God in a particular place. And it was said, why couldn't it happen in Morissette? Why not Morissette? What is so wrong that it could never happen in Morissette? There's absolutely no reason in the world why the Spirit of God could not move through us and into this area. The leading of the Holy Spirit starts with prayer. Constant, real, earnest prayer with a desire to know His leading. And as we go through this, we acknowledge that the good, the bad, and the indifferent, God is still at work. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and a lot of times He'll say, just wait, you're not quite ready. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these are indeed challenging times that we live in. We acknowledge we live in a world that seems to be getting crazier every day. But Father, Your promises are still true. If we will bring our tithes and offering so that there's food in Your house, You will open up the floodgates of blessing, and we will stand so amazed, and we will say, wow. Oh, Father, would that happen in Morissette? Teach us, prepare us to see You work in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
Lord, Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth. May the things that you have revealed and thoughts that we have shared dwell in our hearts and stir us to action. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus.